1 hour up I-65 in West Lafayette, Indiana. There's mess going on the campus of Purdue University, and we're not talking about the basketball team. We're talking about repeated patterns of racism, racial harassment, racial slurs, hate crimes, etc., on the campus of a major Big Ten university, Purdue. Over 200 to 300 members of the Purdue community, blacks, Latinos, Asians, and others, protested yesterday, went to the administration building, went up and down the stairs. They had great chants going on. They had a serious chant going on. And there are some serious issues, and they've laid out seven demands that they want President Mitch Daniels and the administration to deal with. On our live line is Dr. Christopher Warren. He's an African-American professor up at Purdue University. He was part of the protesters yesterday, and he joins me live. Professor, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing this morning?
I'm fine. What's going on at Purdue?
Well, the culmination of a few things, Brother Amos. First and foremost, we have a new president by the name of Mitch Daniels.
Yeah, we heard of him.
he's coming in behind France Cordova, who, as we know, was Latina, and some other things going on, and she kind of had a very liberal hand. She created some diversity positions, put some very, very strong, intelligent, and very professional black women in very important positions at Purdue in order to try to rectify, you know, a lot of the inequalities that were going on, and just to provide a support system for the, you know, the 1,600-1,700 African-American students,
right,
you know, that are at Purdue that have been neglected in previous administration.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Mitch is in, he's a money guy.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, his activities before Purdue, he's anti-union, anti-education, and of course, you know, we can safely assume anti-non-white equality, and that's kind of what the students were up in arms about. Now, the students were already ready to let Mitch Daniels know what was, you know, how they felt, and there was an incident at the Black Cultural Center that kind of served as, you know, the final straw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, found out that the incident at the Black Cultural Center wasn't necessarily what we thought it was.
That's where somebody scrawled the words white supremacy on one of the whiteboards there.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. Well, at the Black Cultural Center, they often have different cultural sensitivity,
right,
type of training courses, and one of the administrative staff was doing something and wrote that, but she had erased it, and it was gone. So how it managed to get rewritten is still up for debate. But they tried to use it as a reason to say, no, students and faculty go home, because everybody was very emotionally tied into it. They were ready to go.
Right.
But, of course, Purdue police were dispatched. They were ready to, you know, kind of quell everything and shut everybody down. And I felt like, you know what, no, we're going to go because, yeah, that incident may be in question, but they just wrote the word on Dr. Cornell Bell's face in the Krannert School of Management.
Ooh.
No, they wrote over his face. And if you know anything about Purdue University, Dr. Cornell Bell is one of the most prominent African Americans to come through there and had a huge influence on the development and funding of one of the best business schools in the nation, which is the Krannert School of Management.
All right, I got to remind you that, you know, hold up on the N-word there, because this is a G-rated program. Even though I know that word was scrawled out on the Purdue campus, so I just kind of tell you the house rules here. But made the point. But let me ask the African American administrators that the former president President Cordova brought in, are they still there? Or did they leave with Mitch?
No, they're there, but they are in a very honestly, they're in a very tepid position. You know, he's not a real diversity guy. You know, he's going to do only what is necessary to keep Purdue receiving the huge federal funds that you get for having international students and students of color there.
Mm-hmm.
But our main thing has been that the problem isn't diversity. The problem is equality.
Okay.
You know, they'll go head over heels with trying to get non-white students here. But once you're here, you're going to be subjected to an atmosphere that is definitely one of white supremacy. You know, if you look at the numbers of black males who leave after their freshman year for non-academic reasons, you know, if you look at, you know, they released the statistics, Purdue is number two in the United States for colleges with hate crime reports.
Mm.
You know, so they'll do anything to get you here so they can get that nice check. But once you get here, you're going to be, you're pretty much going to be susceptible to 1950s and 60s Mississippi style racism.
Professor, let me play devil's advocate. If President Daniels was sitting here in my studio, he'd point out, well, we just hired Coach, what's his name? The new football coach who happens to be African American. And he'll cite that as, of course, we're dealing with diversity. I got one of the few African Americans who have ever coached a Big Ten football team.
Okay. You can say that, and my response would be, guess what? There used to be a whole bunch of black people that they brought in to pick cotton, didn't they? But that didn't mean that they think that they thought that those people were equal. You can bring in black people, you can parade them in front of the media, you can prop them up. But we all know very well, it has nothing to do with how people are treated.
Now, you all, the group made seven demands. I want to kind of work from number seven up to number one, kind of do a David Letterman thing. Demand number seven is be completely transparent about hate crimes and identify groups and individuals that have committed hate crimes. You want the university to require workshops and procedures for faculty and staff regarding race and racism on campus. Create explicit policies with regard to racism in the Purdue Code of Conduct to ensure a zero-tolerance policy for all bigoted and prejudiced action. There's nothing in the rule book that talks about a code of conduct that does not, you know, have harassment based upon race, gender, orientation, etc. There's nothing in the rules about that?
No.
No.
I understand. These demands are rooted in nine demands that a group of students in 1968 brought to the university.
All right, let me go to...
Those nine, only one has been met in the 40 years since that happened.
Let me go to number four. This is require a mandatory workshop during Boil or Gold Rush. I guess that's for fraternities and sororities on racial bias events. You mean to tell me the fraternities and sororities are acting a fool up there at Purdue?
Brother, let me explain something to you. The fraternities were responsible for hanging a noose from a tree during the first election of Barack Obama in 2008.
Oh, Lord.
There was a fraternity. It's so funny that you guys don't hear about this stuff. There was an incident where a group of black students were studying in one of the side study rooms, and two white students from a fraternity wrote the N-word on a chalkboard while the students were sitting there and started laughing. They were wearing their fraternity paraphernalia when they did it. And this just happened, about two months ago.
Wait a minute. You're telling me 2 months ago, some white students in their fraternity garb walked up into a classroom where there's black students, wrote on the blackboard in broad daylight in front of the brothers and sisters the N-word.
I'm trying to explain to you.
This is not Alabama. This is Purdue.
There's an environment of white supremacy. They have the complexion for protection, as my man Paul Mooney says. You know, they are, like, what happened to the student was they were put on, the next time you do something, you're out of here, which is crazy, because I guarantee you, if one of those black students would have walked up and slapped one of those white boys,
oh, it'd have been all like Donkey Kong.
Out of school and banned from the Indiana State University system. But these students had to go through sensitivity training, had to write an apology, but they're still students here. And their fraternity is still on campus. And we know that that punishment didn't mean anything to them. Because what they saw was, well, the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to have to write an apology, and it's going to be about 10 minutes worth of negative feelings towards me and my group. But after that, everything's going to be all good again.
Demand number three, require an undergraduate course on race and racism for all Purdue students without exception. Number two, double the number of minority faculty and students over the next 10 years. And number one, y'all need to listen to this one. Number one, they want a public statement by President Daniels in print, in video, and in the campus-wide email system that, quote, denounces the hateful acts by racist vandals, end of quote. They also want the president to articulate a zero-tolerance stance against all racist acts, and they want the response from President Daniels by Friday, or, you're all ready, we will escalate our campaign. Now, y'all know who you're dealing with. Y'all do understand that.
I think the better, the better way to focus on this is do they know who they are dealing with?
This is not, is this just African-American students, or does this include other students of color at Purdue?
If you look at the video, there are Asian students. There are Arab students. There are Latinos. Our Latino and Latina brothers and sisters are here. You know why? Because they have all felt it. They have all felt it. It's not just hating on black people. It is non-white, non-Republican bias. I mean, there's even liberal white folks because they're talking about how they're getting treated like black folks.
Is this?
This was supporting, you know, ethnic minority causes.
Let me ask.
So, yeah, that's what we.
Dr. Warren, let me ask you a couple of things. One, have any members of your coalition been in touch with African American members of our Indiana legislature?
I would probably have to say no, because we feel like there would be a conflict of interest there.
Well,
that came from the student. The student leaders of this are hesitant to involve black politicians because black politicians are still politicians and more likely to side with the state than they are with the students.
Well, now, do me a favor, because I think one of the first of all, when I tweeted out that you guys were going to be on today, I heard from the folks at IU. The protesters at IU that were on our program last week, because they had a protest this past Friday dealing with some mess at IU. And I can tell you, because we shared this on the air, that three African-American state legislators and one retired African-American state legislator were at the protest at Purdue, standing with the students, faculty, and staff that were standing up against racism and bigotry at IU and a lack of commitment by Indiana University in terms of diversity and inclusion. So I want you to clearly know, and please tell the African-American and the minority students at Purdue that black legislators who have influence on Purdue's purse string, who sit on the budget committee and decides where the money's going to go, who fight for increased equity, they want to know what y'all are doing. And I'm going to, you know, send them, even though they're still in session, I'm going to send them a note indicating that we're talking. So you can expect to hear from them. No joke.
Okay.
I think the African American elected officials were involved in IU because a number of them attended IU and graduated from IU. But they, just because they're IU and they've got crimson and cream, they also are concerned about racism and racist acts, whether it's at Ball State, whether it's in Indiana State, or whether it's Purdue or any school that my tax dollars and their tax dollars are going to. I understand where the students may be coming from. Tell them don't necessarily be afraid of that. It's not a conflict of interest. They want to know. And they ain't afraid of Mitch because they fought Mitch for 8 years. So they ain't afraid of him. they ain't afraid of brother. What can listeners do who are listening right now?
Man, it's so important. This is a major issue, too. We have got to close the gap between these African-American students and the African-American community. Mm-hmm. Because these kids come from the community. A large number of these kids come from Indianapolis and Gary. You know, so there really is no reason for their parents, their cousins and brothers and sisters to not be involved. Mm-hmm. So for the listeners, if you know that you have a cousin, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, niece, or nephew at Purdue University, support them. Tell them you stand with them, because one of the things about protest is that it's a very lonely place to be. You know, people go, oh, why are you starting trouble? We got to say, well, I'm only responding to trouble, and I don't want trouble to keep going. You know what I'm saying? So it would be very, very helpful for the black community at large to show support to these kids. Because they are your kids. Even if they're not your direct children, these kids are going to graduate from college and work in your communities. You know what I mean? So it helps to know that, you know, when we were trying to do something, you were there to support us. So now that we're in a position with a degree or a job or a professional degree, we can go back into this same community because we know that we're unified.
Now, I understand the provost of the university, Tim Sands, that's the number two person, that's the chief academic officer of any university is the provost. He was at the rally. Did he? And I understand in reading a column that was just posted about a couple of hours ago in the Lafayette Journal Courier that he was present. Did he speak?
Yes, he did. We definitely gave him a little bit of a hard time because he came out with prepared statements. Mm-hmm. And what you didn't get to see from the extended clip is I told him no prepared statements.
Mm.
These kids out here, they want you to talk to them, not at them. You know, so don't come up here with something you were going to say no matter what happened. I want you to look at these kids. Look at the emotion in their face. See the tears in their eyes. And I want you to address them from your heart about what you know to be righteous and true. That kind of took him out of his comfort zone, and he was forced to communicate with some students on a one-to-one basis.
Mm.
And I think more so than anything, he was affected yesterday because he didn't do what he wanted to do, which is come up there and make some prepared statements and then leave. We put him in a position to say, no, you're going to be a human being today. You're not going to be a politician. You're not going to be an administrator. You're going to listen to some of the stories from these kids talking about things that have happened to them, being beaten up and called the N-word, being pushed out of groups because they're the only black student in class, and so they fail because nobody wants to have a group project with them. You know, stuff like that. We made him listen to people on a one-to-one basis and tell them specifically what he was going to do for them. Not, what I'm going to do for everyone. No. What are you going to do for this particular kid who is saying he's not coming back to Purdue University because white kids jumped him for being black? What are you going to do for him specifically?
I want our listeners in the community to know that I first heard of this effort through the Lafayette newspaper, the Lafayette Courier Journal. And I read the coverage this morning. That's how I found out about Professor Warren and figured out how to the Purdue email system and sent him a note. And I'm very grateful that you're here. And I'm reading a commentary that's been written on the website of the Journal Courier. That's jconline.com by Dave Bangert, who's one of the editorial writers. And it is a very detailed, it really gave me a good feel. And they've got video on their website as well about what went on there. And when I went to read the student newspaper, the Purdue Exponent, and usually a lot of times I'll find out more information about what's going on a campus from the campus newspaper, I was disappointed at what little I read in the campus newspaper. And that tells me something about student attitudes at Purdue. I mean, for me to have to read out of the regular newspaper a lot more of what was going on yesterday on your campus and from the student newspaper, that tells me something's going on and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Up at West Lafayette, yes, because the coverage in Bloomington from the IU paper on the protest the other week dealing with racism and bigotry was far more detailed than what I saw here. I know you're pressed for time because you got to go teach a class, and I want you to do your job. Now you know how to get a hold of me. You know, and please pass on to, you know, other leaders of this. Indianapolis wants to know what's going on at Purdue. If our students are suffering, we want to know about it. We want to pass the word about it. So tell them to get a hold of me. We love to hear more from them about what is going on at Purdue and what can we here in the capital city and the largest African-American community in the state can do about this, because we ain't afraid of Mitch. We ain't afraid of Mitch no more.
Show up on Friday.
Huh?
Show up on Friday.
Oh, there's another protest Friday.
We gave President Daniels until Friday to even acknowledge and address us, not to even come up with a concrete solution, but to address this and tell us what he's going to do, at least in the short term.
Y'all got a Facebook?
A show of solidarity from you guys.
Okay.
If you could come up here on Friday and join us. You don't have to say anything. Just your presence.
Mm-hmm.
Just your radio presence. Just people's local Indiana black folks and people who support us. If you just show up at Purdue on Friday, it will have an immeasurable impact on what we're trying to do.
And is there a Facebook page where people can find out more information about what y'all doing at Purdue?
Well, right now, everything is getting put together.
Okay.
What I can do is, by the end of today, I can give you some websites, because they're putting together websites, and Tumblr pages, and Facebook pages, and all kind of stuff.
Tell them don't leave Twitter out.
Oh, no, they already do. There's March at Purdue is already on Twitter.
March at Purdue is already on Twitter. It's called March on Purdue?
I think it's March on. Look, I'm a professor, so you get March at Purdue on Twitter. So, you know, I'm not on Twitter at all.
Professor. I'm in my 60s. So if I could deal with Twitter, you can deal with it too. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right, brother.
All right, we're gonna keep an eye on this. Thank you very, very much for being with us. Serious business. Okay.
Thank you for allowing us to share with you today.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-13. Oh my goodness, what a mess.